Welcome to Grand Rapids Daily for Wednesday, July 22nd. I'm your host, Aaron, and I'm joined by Sarah. We've got a great show for you today, but first, let's talk about this weather. It feels like we are finally getting a break from the humidity.
We really are. If you step outside right now, it's sitting at a very crisp 53 degrees with perfectly clear skies. The wind is just a gentle 6 miles per hour out of the northwest. It's the kind of morning that makes you want to take your coffee out on the porch.
Absolutely. And that pleasant trend is going to hold steady for the next day or so. We're looking at a high near 75 degrees this afternoon, and it's going to stay completely clear through the evening. By tomorrow morning, we'll dip back down to around 55 degrees before climbing into the low 70s again on Thursday afternoon.
It's actually a bit of a notable cool break for late July here in Michigan. Historically, our average highs right now sit closer to 77 or even 83 degrees, with those infamous sticky, humid conditions and pop-up thunderstorms we usually get this time of year.
So no severe weather alerts to worry about, no heat domes, just a really beautiful standard margin of variation that leans toward the cooler side. It is a perfect window to get out to the parks or walk around downtown before the humidity inevitably returns.
For sure. Enjoy it while it lasts, because you know Michigan weather. It will change before we know it. But for now, let's get into the news. We have some major developments happening within our local schools that we need to unpack.
Let's move on to our first major story today. Grand Rapids Public Schools has just announced a sweeping initiative to launch a district-wide artificial intelligence curriculum starting this fall. This isn't just a small pilot program. We are talking about a $1.2 million investment, funded primarily through a state technology grant. The goal, according to the district, is to make sure students aren't just consumers of this technology, but actually understand how it works under the hood. It's a massive shift in how technology is being integrated into the classroom.
It really is a massive shift, and the details of this curriculum are fascinating. They are partnering with Grand Valley State University's newly launched AI Research Center, which we actually talked about on the show last week, to develop the coursework. The curriculum is broken down into three main pillars: AI ethics, algorithmic bias, and foundational machine learning concepts. So instead of just teaching kids how to write a prompt for ChatGPT, they are going to be diving into how these models are trained, what kind of biases exist in the training data, and the ethical implications of using AI in the real world.
And as you might expect, this announcement has generated a significant amount of pushback. At Tuesday night's school board meeting, the public comment period was dominated by parents expressing some very real concerns. The two main issues brought up were the potential for increased screen time and, of course, academic dishonesty. One parent actually took to the podium and said, "We are replacing critical thinking and teachers with algorithms." There is a genuine fear that giving students access to these tools will just make it easier for them to cheat on essays and math homework.
Right. The cheating concern is always the first thing that comes up. But the district's response, led by Superintendent Liedrian Roby, has been very firm on this. She argued that AI is essentially the new calculator. When calculators were first introduced, there was a panic that kids would never learn basic math. But eventually, the education system adapted. Roby emphasized that this curriculum is about digital literacy and workforce preparation. The reality is that these students are going to graduate into a job market where using AI tools is going to be a baseline requirement, not a novelty. To that end, the district is putting a heavy emphasis on teacher training before the students even log in. Right now, there are 150 GRPS teachers participating in a summer intensive training program. They are learning how to actively integrate these AI concepts into existing subjects like English, math, and science. For example, an English teacher might have students use an AI tool to generate a rough draft. And then the actual assignment is for the student to critique, fact check, and rewrite that draft to improve it. It flips the traditional model on its head.
And to address the data privacy concerns, because that was another big sticking point at the board meeting, the district isn't just handing out open access to commercial AI platforms. They are utilizing a walled garden AI environment, specifically designed for K-12 education. This means the students' data, their prompts, and their coursework are completely ring-fenced. It is not being fed back into the public models, and it is not being sold to third parties. That was a crucial concession that seemed to calm at least some of the nervous parents in the room.
It's also worth noting the perspective of the students themselves. A student representative to the board, a senior at Ottawa Hills High School, actually spoke in favor of the curriculum. She pointed out that students are already using these tools on their own time, often without any guidance. Her argument was that ignoring AI in the classroom just creates a divide between the students who know how to leverage it for their future careers and those who don't.
That is an incredibly mature point, and it perfectly highlights the district's rationale. If schools don't teach this formally, it just widens the digital divide. As for the software itself, the board is evaluating proposals from three different educational tech vendors who specialize in these secure K-12 AI environments. We don't have the names of the specific platforms yet, but the $1.2 million budget includes the licensing fees for the entire district for the next 3 years.
It's definitely a necessary safeguard, but this isn't a done deal just yet. While the pilot program has been announced, the final approval for the specific curriculum materials and the software vendor contracts is going to be voted on at the next board meeting, which is coming up this Monday at 6:30 p.m. If you are a parent in the GRPS district and you have thoughts on this, either for or against, Monday is your last chance to get those comments on the official record before the fall semester begins.
It's going to be a very closely watched vote, not just here in Grand Rapids, but likely by other districts across West Michigan who are trying to figure out their own AI strategies. We will definitely be keeping an eye on how that vote shakes out on Monday, and we'll bring you the results on Wednesday's show. For our second deep dive today, we are heading over to the Kent County Commission, where a very heated debate is unfolding over the future of the historic downtown library branch that houses the county archives and local history collection. This building, which dates back to the 1920s, is in desperate need of repairs. The commission is currently weighing two very different proposals: a $12.5 million comprehensive renovation, or a $4 million plan to simply relocate the collection to a newer facility in Wyoming and sell off the downtown property entirely.
And that $12.5 million price tag for the renovation is really what sparked this whole debate. The building is beautiful, but it is structurally showing its age. According to the engineering report presented at the commission, the HVAC system is actively failing, which is obviously a massive problem when you are trying to preserve delicate historical documents. On top of that, there is significant asbestos remediation required before they can even begin modernizing the interior spaces. It's a massive undertaking.
It is. And that's why the fiscal conservatives on the commission are pushing hard for the relocation option. Commissioner Stan Steck was very vocal during the session, questioning whether it makes sense to spend nearly $13 million of taxpayer money on a building that sees relatively low daily foot traffic compared to the main library branches. His argument is that by moving the archives to a modern, climate-controlled facility in Wyoming, they can secure the collection for a third of the cost and then capitalize on the value of the downtown property.
And the real estate angle here is huge. That historic building sits on some prime downtown real estate. Developers have already floated informal offers in the neighborhood of $8 million for the site. The idea would be to potentially redevelop it into mixed-use commercial and residential space, which, as we've discussed on the show recently, ties right into the ongoing conversations about downtown zoning and the urgent need for more housing inventory in the city core.
But the pushback against selling has been fierce, particularly from the local historical society and downtown preservationists. They argue that the building itself is a vital piece of the archives. We spoke with a local historian who said selling this building to a developer erases a piece of Grand Rapids' architectural soul. They are deeply concerned that if a developer buys it, even with promises to preserve the facade, the historical integrity of the space will be lost forever.
To give a little more context on the building itself, it was designed by a prominent local architect in the 1920s and features some incredible Art Deco detailing that you just don't see in modern construction. The Historical Society has pointed out that once we lose these physical touchstones of our civic history, we can't get them back. It is not just an old building. It is a tangible link to Grand Rapids' past.
On the flip side, the proposed facility in Wyoming is essentially a blank slate. It's a massive, relatively new warehouse space that could be easily retrofitted with state-of-the-art climate control and high-density archival shelving. It would offer nearly double the square footage for the actual collection compared to the downtown branch, which means they could finally bring thousands of historical documents out of deep storage and make them available for researchers.
Right, and there's also an accessibility argument being made. Proponents of keeping it downtown argue that a central location is inherently more accessible to a wider range of Kent County residents, especially those who rely on public transit. The proposed Wyoming location, while cheaper to operate, is much harder to get to if you don't have a car. They argue that moving the archives out to the suburbs effectively hides the county's history away from the people who live in the city center. It's a classic urban planning dilemma, balancing historical preservation and accessibility against practical fiscal realities. The commission has decided to pump the brakes before making a final decision. They have scheduled a dedicated public listening session specifically on this issue for this Thursday evening at 6 p.m. at the County Administration Building. They want to hear directly from residents before they put this to a formal vote. So if you are passionate about local history, or if you just have strong feelings about how the county should be spending its infrastructure budget, you will want to mark your calendar for Thursday at 6 p.m. It promises to be a packed room, and we will be tracking this closely to see which direction the commission ultimately decides to go.
All right, we have spent a good amount of time unpacking those two major debates, but there is still plenty more going on around West Michigan. Let's hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
The John Ball Zoo has officially announced that their highly anticipated new red panda habitat will open to the public this Saturday morning. This is a $2 million state-of-the-art enclosure designed to mimic the high-altitude bamboo forests of the Himalayas, and it features multiple climbing structures and cooling zones for the animals. It is going to be incredibly popular, especially since red pandas are always a massive draw. The zoo is expecting record attendance this weekend, so if you are planning to go, they are strongly recommending that you purchase your tickets online in advance to guarantee entry. It's a great addition to the zoo, just in time for the late summer crowds.
Over in the arts and culture sector, the Grand Rapids Art Museum, or the GRAM, has officially named Sarah Johnson as its new executive director. Johnson is coming to West Michigan from the Chicago Art Institute, where she served as the Director of Contemporary Curation for the last 6 years.
This is a big get for the GRAM. Johnson officially takes the helm on September 1st, and the board highlighted her strong background in community outreach and expanding museum accessibility as key reasons for her hiring. It will be really interesting to see how her vision shapes the museum's upcoming winter exhibitions.
And finally, a crucial heads up for anyone driving this weekend. MDOT is warning of major closures on US 131 southbound. Starting this Friday at 9 p.m., the southbound lanes will be completely shut down from Wealthy Street all the way down to Burton Street.
Yeah, this is going to be a headache. The closure is for necessary bridge joint repairs, and it will last all the way through Monday morning at 5 a.m., If you are heading south out of the city this weekend, you absolutely need to plan an alternate route. MDOT is recommending drivers use the I-196 bypass to avoid the inevitable gridlock.
Before we wrap the roundup, a quick note for sports fans. The West Michigan Whitecaps have announced the promotional schedule for their final crucial homestand in August at LMCU Ballpark.
The highlight is definitely Fan Appreciation Night on August 15th, which will feature a massive post-game fireworks show and jersey giveaways. They are currently locked in a tight playoff race, so the energy at the ballpark should be electric. Tickets are already selling fast.
And that is going to do it for today's episode of Grand Rapids Daily. Thank you so much for starting your Wednesday with us.
We will be right back here on Friday with more local news, politics, and updates for West Michigan. In the meantime, get outside and enjoy this beautiful, clear weather while it lasts.
As always, if you have a story tip or something you think we should be covering, you can reach out to us through our website. Have a fantastic day, Grand Rapids, and we will talk to you on Friday.